The Black and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by DuPage Credit Union. Don't settle for dealership financing when you can apply for a low-rate vehicle loan at DuPage Credit Union. Visit DuPageCU.com. By member's choice, this financial institution is not federally insured. DuPage Credit Union. Banking inspired.
It's time to immerse yourself in the world of college football. ESPN 1000 has studied hard and has all the answers. This is Chicago's College Tailgate Show, presented by Nissan, with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah. Advanced degrees not required. Understanding the Wildcat? Essential. Chicago's College Tailgate Show.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
And now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Welcome in to Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Black with Adam Abdallah. We are presented by Nissan. And this morning, we are live from Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle, Abdallah.
It's a great atmosphere. Listen to that. Listen to that.
We got a crowd. We're ready to go.
We got LSU fans already giving me crap. We got Iowa fans already giving me crap. Somebody's here in an Illinois jersey for some reason. And then also, we've got a Dolphins fan here. I don't know why. It's Saturday. Do you know what day it is, sir? It's Saturday. But that's okay. He's a Tua Tagovailoa fan. We'll say that, right?
We'll see about that one. Abdallah, let's look back before we get to the 11
a.m. Can we do this every week.
Oh,
can we?
Okay.
Last week didn't happen. Let's move on. We're on
We have some
week.
Iowa fans
nope,
here. The Carcinos are here.
Nope,
they want to celebrate Iowa beating Penn State.
No, we are on to this week. We
In
are moving
comeback
on.
Fashion, I mean, we look back to last weekend, and, we kind of say this each and every weekend throughout the fall that Saturdays are so much fun because it's unpredictable, right? And we get so many twists and turns. And, I thought for a while Texas was back last weekend in the Red River shootout. And then we find out that, no, it's Oklahoma coming back with a backup quarterback to lead the way. The Sooners beat the Longhorns. There's so much that went into last weekend that's so much fun and why we love the pageantry and the excitement of college football. Iowa coming back in the second half, beating Penn State, top five teams, right? Like, that was great.
Yeah.
And then we also get one of the giants in all of college football last weekend falling to Texas A&M, a team that has had a terrible season, but Jimbo Fisher saving face. Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies beating Alabama, the number one team in the country last weekend, 41-38. So as we look back on week six, there's a lot to take away that we saw last week in college football before we look at the 11 a.m. kicks that are just about to kick off around college football for week seven. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on Alabama going down last weekend?
Well, Chris, I mean, look, you know me. I know this team. I feel like I have the most realistic view on this team, and I've said for the last few weeks that they're not the best team in college football, that their defense isn't as good as it used to be. Their offensive line isn't as good as usually it is. Alabama standards are different. Alabama standards are the best team in the country, top two teams in the country. And this year, they're not one of those teams, and they haven't been playing like one of those teams. Their offense has been, but their defense and their offensive line has not been. Texas A&M had four sacks. They made Bryce Young uncomfortable the entire game. They knocked him down a bunch. He was hurried. He was pressured. They had five plays, Texas A&M did, of over 15 yards or more on touchdown on touchdown drives. Those are chunk plays that you can't afford as an Alabama defense.
You don't really see that from Alabama
to
year,
but
right?
The problem is you have this year. Because year to year, you're right, you don't. But this year, in their secondary, they've got injuries at linebacker. You have seen it this year from Alabama that they're susceptible. The problem is they should have lost two other games this year, right? They probably should have lost to Florida. They put up 21 points early, and then Dan Mullen figured out the team. The problem is they were in a 21-point hole, so they couldn't come out of it. But they only won that game by 3 points. Lane Kiffin, if he's a better in-game coach, Ole Miss finds a way to win that game because Alabama's down. They've got a Heisman candidate in Matt Corral. And I'm telling you.
Your sell job is just ridiculous. Wasn't Alabama up 28-0 on Ole Miss?
At one point, but then they came back.
So how can you say that they should have won that
because
game?
Because if they would have gone for it on fourth down a few times in their own territory, they wouldn't have, okay? You had all the makings of an Alabama loss against Texas A&M. You had a kick return for a touchdown. Passing three straight times in the red zone. I've got a whole list of things you can see right here.
What are you doing? Some of the blowback at the Crimson Tide this week is on Bill O'Brien and his use of Bryce Young in the red zone, the inability to score six. I mean, a lot of that goes into how you didn't win that football game, and you allow Texas A&M, a team that in the SEC – They were struggling this year.
I know they were, but if one coach was going to do it, it was going to be Jimbo. They put the money behind him. He's had a good recruiting the last couple of years, and he's a great in-game coach. People forget because of the down years that Texas A&M have, the success he had at Florida State. He is a great coach. He's one of the better coaches in college football right now. He just needed the right players, and they had a few losses this year. But he would be the one to beat Alabama. Kirby Smart's going to have a chance to do it later this year should they get to the SEC championship game. But that's the beauty of college football, Chris. I'm telling you right now, watch out for Mississippi State today. Watch out for an Alabama team to come down now knowing that they have to win out. They have to win the SEC championship game. A lot of things have to go their way. Watch out for Mississippi State today as a live dog when they have to travel to Mississippi State, Alabama does, to play that game. But like I mentioned, everything has to go right now. You have to win the rest of your games. They've got Mississippi State, Tennessee, LSU. I see those two people in the back decked out in LSU gear.
Tigers, right?
New Mexico State, Arkansas, who's ranked, and then Auburn. And then hopefully if you win all those games, you get to the SEC championship game against Georgia, who is hands down the best team in the country. And if they find a way to beat Georgia in the SEC championship game, then Alabama's right back in the college football playoff.
Okay, so as we look back to week six, before we go forward into week seven this weekend, you know, Iowa beating Penn State was fantastic. Iowa's the number two ranked team in the country now. And in the comeback, they scored 13-3 over Penn State. But you have to also look at the idea that Penn State was without their starting quarterback. Sean Clifford did not play in the second half of that contest. I know there's a lot that's been made from James Franklin and the Nittany Lions in this off week for them about injuries, that they're being accused that they were faking injuries against Iowa late in that football game. But really, you know, the excitement of what we saw with number one going down, a team taking the mantle at number two, Iowa, because Georgia moves into that top spot. What a win for the Hawkeyes last weekend.
Good teams find a way. This isn't the first time that Iowa's been down, you know, at the half or in a game, right? They were down to an unranked team earlier this season. They have to come all the way back and win that game. But Iowa turnovers and Iowa scoring late has been inevitable the past couple seasons. And with this defense, holding Penn State to 20 points to them is a win. Obviously, they win that game 23-20. But having the defense that they do, the opportunistic turnovers. Remember we talked about Indiana last year, and maybe they were a bit overrated because of the turnovers and how they were winning games and how they, you know, that they could score points, but also at the same time just needing and relying on the turnovers. Penn State or Iowa beating Penn State, having the turnovers, having the great defense, you need to rely on that sometimes, and it was evident that Iowa did that game, but also Penn State not having their starting quarterback did play a lot into it, but I don't know if it did because this Iowa defense is so good that it might not matter who had been out there at quarterback.
They're fantastic.
Iowa was just going to find a way at some point.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, I was playing in an interesting matchup today against Purdue. Don't trip up, right? You finally have gotten to the point where you are cemented as a team that if you take care of your own business, you can get to the college football playoff. And I think you have the resume. You're obviously the number two team in the country, and that defense is fantastic. So I think that's something we have to talk about throughout the show today is Purdue at Iowa, 2:30 at 8 on ABC. It's going to be a good game to watch, but also for the number two team in the country, show that you are. Purdue's a team that offensively can put up some points. As we continue to look back at week six last weekend, the other game that I want to talk to you about, Oklahoma beating Texas, 55-48, and what a shootout. How about the Sooners? 25 points in the fourth quarter last week with their backup quarterback, Caleb Williams, comes into the game. He goes 16 of 25 for 212 yards, two touchdowns. Spencer Rattler is now on the bench. Throughout the week, there was kind of a discussion in Norman, Oklahoma, of whether or not Rattler is ever going to start again for the Sooners. Mm-hmm. It seems like the fan base, Sooner fans, want Caleb Williams. That game was a fun game to watch, one of the best that we've seen in the Red River rivalry.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, watching that game at the Sportsbook in Vegas at Circa last week, like the ups and downs of the fans, it was so crazy. That one Oklahoma fan was so mad. Like it was going to ruin his whole day, and then just seeing him. It was like the, you know, like the graph they show of the win probability.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that was him. Like him and his,
no!
he had his head down on the desk.
Cobra.
And he was up like this, yes! And then he's cheering, and like you just sort of see it happening and happening. And then for them to cover late, like if they just settle for the field goal, they can still win that game, but end up, you know, scoring a touchdown at the end for not only the win, but also the cover. Huge for Oklahoma, for the backers, obviously, for the boosters.
Sure.
But
right.
We were talking about Spencer Rattler, not only as a Heisman candidate, not only as a top draft pick, but like one of the best quarterbacks in the country. Like this was going to be the year. We were just saying that, hey, you know what? Another Oklahoma quarterback coming in. He's going to be the Heisman Trophy candidate. He's had another year in this system. He knows the system well. And like this is going to be the dude. But unfortunately for him, he's turnover prone. He hasn't been able to make the throws when he has the guys open, and he's just had a bad, really bad year.
Well, you know, he's one of those guys with the name, image, and likeness who immediately benefited from it. But, like, how far does that go if you're a backup quarterback, right?
I would assume
that he won't want to be around.
Well, the checks have cleared, Chris. The checks have already cleared.
I'm not speaking of the money being taken away from the kid. I'm just saying that if you're making that much money as the starting quarterback, you're no longer the starting quarterback, I would find it hard to believe that he buys in and he stays at Oklahoma. This sniffs to me as someone who will be disgruntled and jump into the transfer portal immediately the moment the season ends.
Yeah, I mean, is he going to find a better offensive system than Oklahoma? Like, if you're a stud quarterback.
Think about for
but if
him.
If he's not starting, you're right, yeah.
Well, it hurts his reputation as well. If he's the one guy that didn't work with that system in Oklahoma.
I mean, because we saw with Jalen Hurts coming in,
yeah.
We saw what he was able to do at Oklahoma.
Absolutely.
And become a Heisman Trophy candidate. And, like, yeah, you just see, like, they make quarterbacks. That's all. It is a quarterback factory, whether you transfer or whether you come up through the system. And you thought he'd be a little bit different coming through the system for a little bit. But apparently not. But a great game. And, obviously, Oklahoma, once again, surviving and advancing.
Yeah.
Remaining undefeated.
Absolutely.
And so you talk about, you know, if you win the Big 12 and you win, and even though, you know, you have to put up a bunch of points to beat Texas, you have to come from behind, from way behind to beat Texas. Can they keep winning games like this? Can they make it to the college football playoff? Because as soon as they lose, are they a team that the college football committee looks at and goes, well, we didn't think you were real in the first place. So as soon as you're out, you're going to drop. Because look,
They haven't played well, and you're right about that.
I understand that they're undefeated. All right? I get it. I understand that they're undefeated, but to me, I don't think that they're better than Alabama. Like, we can get into the college football playoff and the rankings and stuff when we get there, but I don't think that this team right now is better than Alabama, because you've got the AP top 25 as Georgia number 1, Iowa 2, Cincinnati 3, Oklahoma, Alabama, Ohio State. I would put Alabama and Ohio State, the way they've been playing,
yep,
ahead of this Oklahoma team.
Yeah.
Because the way they've been winning games, having to come from behind, letting teams hang around, letting bad teams hang around. Like, I get it. Texas, rivalry game, Red River rivalry, it's different. You know, like those, you take the records, you throw them out of the window, right, when you have those games. But they're letting all these other teams hang around. And to me, I know they're undefeated, so you have to keep them up there. But you beat West Virginia by 3. You beat Kansas State by 6. Like, you're letting these teams hang around. Nebraska, I mean, yeah, Western whatever. What did we say WCU was? Western Carolina. Okay, 76-0. But that's what you're supposed to do. All of your games are supposed to be like that. And they just haven't been this year.
I would say also keep an eye on 6:30 on ABC tonight. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma hosting TCU, the Horned Frogs. Gary Patterson is a fantastic coach. He is someone who is always prepared for moments like this. So if you have a team that's been slumping throughout the season but continuing to win like Oklahoma has at 6-0, tonight is maybe a situation where you see a possible upset. So now as we focus in on Week 7, as the 11 a.m. kicks have all kicked off around college football, we have 7 top 25 teams playing at 11 a.m. right now. 7 top 25 teams. We have only one top 25 matchup at the moment. It's Oklahoma State and Texas. Texas, the 25th ranked team in the country, even though they have 2 losses, taking on OK State. A team that, you know, last year we kind of thought would make some noise and they kind of faded late, but Oklahoma State at Texas, that's a game that's top 25 right now.
Our friends at the Solid Verbal, I believe, called them Big 12 Iowa, Oklahoma State. They struggle to score. They can't move the ball, but they have the best defense in the Big 12. So, you know, if they can stop Texas at some point, obviously they haven't been able to. Texas is up 7-0 right now with 10 minutes left in the first. But if they find a way to stop Texas and can win this game, that sets up a great matchup at the end of the season with Oklahoma if they're both undefeated at that point. But Texas, with the offensive output that they had last week, they are rolling right along, putting up 7 points easily against Oklahoma State, but that has the makings of a good game. And at Oklahoma State, another one of these teams that's like, okay, you're undefeated, but when you face a real team in Texas, is it it's put up or shut up time? And as of right now, it's a long game. There's a lot of football left. But right now, just letting Texas march down the field and score is not something that that Oklahoma State defense is used to.
It's Black and Abdallah here on Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We are presented by Nissan. We are live today from Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle. There are TVs everywhere in here. And you're right, Florida and LSU are playing right now. We have LSU fans over here watching that game. We have a Iowa constituency right here. We have the Carcinos in the building.
They brought me a hat. Here. They brought me an
Iowa Hawkeye hat.
I have a Hawkeye
hat.
That's
fantastic.
So as soon as I have adopted Iowa as my second team this year, as Abdallah's Big Ten team, Rutgers can shove it at this point. So we're going to go with
Rutgers
the
Hawkeye.
I feel like a college recruit here.
Yeah,
but I only have one hat.
Hats.
I only have one hat though, so I'm just gonna select the Iowa hat.
Hold it up for the Twitchers
here.
You can watch us on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago. It's Black and Abdallah. We're talking college football with you this morning, live from Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar. Come on out. We are in Roselle. It is fantastic. TVs everywhere. Come watch. Come drink some Coors Light and hang out with us. Coming up next, let's talk about the biggest matchup of today, Kentucky at Georgia. We'll talk about that next right here on Chicago's College Tailgate.
This is Chicago's College Tailgate Show with Black and Abdallah. Follow them on Twitter at Chris Black and at Adam A. Abdallah.
Now, back to more on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Here are your hosts, Chris Black and Adam Abdallah.
We are live from Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle. It's Chicago's College Tailgate presented by Nissan, also brought to you by SGCSportsInfo.com and Coors Light. I believe a heavy Twitch group is here at the show.
They're out. The Twitchers are out here today. The Carcinos are out here. Notes out here. Schlub's out here. There's a Swirsky out here, I believe. Yeah,
Dan,
there
Swirsky.
He is. Dan Swirsky's out here.
You know, he told me in the commercial break, you're flipping more than Cap.
That's funny.
On the teams. With,
I said no.
Alabama and
Iowa. No, here's what
I
said. No,
that's what he said.
You
got to
understand.
Here.
There's a 4-team college football playoff, and maybe this year we should go to 12. But there's a 4-team college football playoff.
Sure.
If Alabama is in it, watch out. Iowa doesn't want that smoke. Cincinnati doesn't want that smoke. Oklahoma doesn't want that smoke, as they've seen in the past. But if Alabama's not in it and we go to a New Year's Six Bowl or whatever, and there's pomp and circumstance and dudes bowing out of the bowl game, then sure, I'll cheer for my friends for their Iowa. It'd be nice to have a Big Ten team besides Ohio State, actually show up and do something in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
Michigan State's been there before and had, didn't even cross the 50 till the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It'd be nice for the Big Ten. It'd be a nice little story for the Big Ten, if they were able to do something in the college football playoff, besides Ohio State, obviously.
I just wanted to bring to you what the Twitch group is talking about in real time to the show.
I think it'd be funny.
I thought it was a low blow. I don't know why we're taking shots
at
Cap this early in the morning. I mean, come on, people. Let's be nice.
I told you what happened.
Let's not do such a thing.
I told the Carcinos this, the Iowa fans here from Twitch. I said this before the real reason Alabama lost.
Sure.
I was in Vegas last week, and I did not bring the super soft home field hoodie with me.
Shout out to home field.
That is why they lost. Saban actually said it live from Boomhauer's during the coach's show. He was like, "Well, if Adam would have worn the hoodie, we would have won that game. But we come together. We got to do our jobs, and we'll on to the next game."
Speaking of the next game, let's talk about Kentucky at Georgia. It's the best matchup of the day. It's 2:30 on CBS.
It's a 21.5 point spread, but
man,
it's the best matchup of the day.
I mean, think about it. Georgia's defense is so good. You can double check this stat if you'd like, but I believe their defense is allowing 5.5
yep.
points per game.
I've got that written down.
Number
right here.
One in the country.
64 rushing yards per game. Yeah.
So they're giving up about a field goal and a safety per game. That defense is so good, and they're just stacked. And Kirby Smart, and you know what's interesting, and maybe this is a larger conversation we can get into, mm-hmm. but you know, as we watch college football each and every week and we talk about the games that are taking place in the moment, you and I throughout the winter and in the spring, we talk about recruiting rankings. Mm-hmm. And we talk about the ability to stack your team with elite top talent around the country, but importantly, from the South. And that's what Kirby Smart is able to do. And he has 4-star, 5-star, blue-chip players each and every year. We have seen Georgia be in the conversation of the top 5 in recruiting in college football for what, the last 5 years consistently? And that's where now we are able to say down the road, 4 years out, 5 years out, Georgia has the most talent in college football, and that defense is incredible.
Yeah, so if you look at the rankings, 538 does an adjusted rankings, and essentially Alabama and Georgia are 1A, 1B. And everyone else is kind of trailing because you can recruit all the 5-star recruits you want and 4-star recruits. What happens when they actually get into the program, right? Like we look at it in the NFL draft, right? You're drafting guys number 1, number 2, number 3 overall. Some of those guys bust. Just like 5-star recruits sometimes bust, 4-star recruits sometimes bust. So if you look at the adjusted rankings that they look at a couple of years down the line, Alabama and Georgia are neck and neck. And Kirby Smart has done a great job recruiting the talent. You mentioned the 5.5 points per game. They're expected to have, by the end of the season, the lowest expected points per play since Alabama in 2011. They're on track to have the best defense in the history of college football this year if they continue on this pace. Now it's a long season, injuries happen, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they've evolved to the way college football has been playing. That year 2011 when Alabama had the best defense ever, right? They were statistically the best defense in all of college football, in the history of college football. They were playing pass plays 58% of the plays. They were defending the pass.
Right.
Georgia now is defending the pass on 76% of the time. And this goes to the way Kirby Smart runs his practices and the way they practice, right? The Oklahoma drill is something that has gone by the wayside, right? So Kirby Smart has created something.
You told me they don't just line up and smash each other each and every day in practice?
They do, but Kirby Smart has created what he calls, and it's perfect, it's a perfect name, the Millennial Oklahoma Drill. I was reading about this week.
Oh, so it's soft.
The Millennial.
It's soft and you know.
It is. They go into soft coverage for the pass, and they practice tackling in open space, and they run Oklahoma drills, but basically in open space to practice defending the pass. Because all these teams are running spread offenses. All these teams are usually playing from behind against Georgia. So you have to pass. You have to generate offense. And the way you do that, again, when you're down, you know, 7-0, 14-0, 21-0, and just snowballs and snowballs and snowballs, is you can't give up big plays the way that we've seen Alabama do it in the past. So Kirby Smart, being the great defensive coordinator that he has been in the past, developed a new drill for them to practice, which makes them so good against the pass, and that's what they just call it, the Millennial Oklahoma Drill, which is great. But this team has been so good defensively, and now that their offense is getting healthier, JT Daniels might come back and play this week. We'll see. They've been playing such better offense that now it's just been compounding itself, and they just look like, remember we talked about it for years, Alabama being that boa constrictor, and eventually you're just not good enough. That's the way Georgia has been this year.
I wonder what type of jokes people could get off by thinking about the Millennial Oklahoma Drill and like what that actually is.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, uh-huh.
You know, it's just a
that's
bunch,
the first thing I thought of when I saw
backs
it. Yep.
With vape pens standing yep. back there, right? Like wishing that they could, they'd rather vape than actually play.
It's kind of like
football.
What Eddie Jackson does.
Yeah, right. You know, the key for Kentucky, and how about Kentucky, the 11th ranked team in the country, they have to run the football.
Mm-hmm.
214 yards per game on the ground, and you just laid out everything to why this defense for Georgia is so good, but they are playing the pass because that's where college football has gone. College football is a passing game. It's a game where teams are spraying you out, and they are throwing it 60, 70 times per game if they can. And so Kentucky, they're going to try and control the game by running the football. Can they do that against this Bulldog defense. And that's going to be a matchup that we're going to see today in this contest that will figure out whether or not Kentucky is for real or not. Like, what also happens here on Chicago's College Tailgate is we get these matchups of teams that pop up mm-hmm. who are exciting because they are new to the college football kind of vibe, right? Like,
yeah.
Kentucky's a fun team to talk about. But unfortunately, we do this, and then today's like the last day we'll talk about Kentucky.
Because
chances
lose.
Are
yeah.
they'll lose 30-6 to Georgia, and like that'll be that. They'll bounce out of the top 15, and their cute little season mm-hmm. in the SEC will be wasted.
Well, we talked about Arkansas last week. You yep. know, like Arkansas had that 100%. Big matchup against Georgia. They lose. They can't score. Georgia shuts them out, and then they have that tough loss to Ole Miss the next day, and then we're not talking about Arkansas anymore. Stoops is building something in Kentucky. We saw this a couple years ago. They were undefeated for a while. Then they faced a real team. They're undefeated right now. They're 11th in the country. They're probably going to lose today. They're a 21.5-point dog to Georgia. So it says a lot about what this team is. They can run the ball. Georgia's the best team against the run in the country. They're the best defense in the country, obviously. We were just talking about it. But their quarterback, if you force Will Levis to throw, he can't do it.
Yeah,
he's got 11 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Like, he can't. They don't have a game plan that sets them up to come from behind. They need to run the clock. They need to control the ball. And I don't know if they're going to be able to do that against this Georgia team, because Georgia's going to expect you to run. So they're going to be playing the run. And if I don't know if Kentucky has the game plan or the players to win this through the air.
Since you mentioned Will Levis, would you eat a brown banana with the peel on? Because that's something that went viral at the start of the college football season. Will Levis and his brown banana, would you eat it?
I've eaten a lot of things.
The full peel,
yeah,
the whole thing.
I eat a lot of things.
Is that something we need to
worms.
Do?
I ate worms on Twitch. Yeah. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
That's true. You did
follow
do
us.
Yeah.
I mean, I eat a lot of stuff. Yeah, I'll eat the banana with the peel on it.
Shout out to everyone who's here at Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar watching the show, Chicago's College Tailgate. We are in Roselle until 1 p.m. It's Black and Abdallah. We get a top 25 scoreboard coming up next.
This is Chicago's College Tailgate Show, live from Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle. Watch us on Twitch, follow ESPN 1000 Chicago, and listen on the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
Dude, we have a lot of awesome listeners. I was talking to Matt and Connor, came out.
All right.
I know we're on the air.
I'm just checking, man.
I'm just letting people know there's a lot of people here.
Yeah.
Enjoying Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000.
The Coors Light is
presented
flowing.
Presented by Nissan.
And Coors Light. And it's flowing. Do you see those mountains?
Yeah, they're cold. They're blue, man.
Blue.
They're blue. They're delicious and they're blue. We're live from Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle. Come hang out until 1 o'clock with Bluck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. And Danny Lynch is setting down a full
bucket
of Coors Light, which is fantastic. We are ready to go. We're locked and loaded. There's college football games taking place right now. And let's get a top 25 scoreboard with Tyler Aki.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Tyler.
What's going on, gentlemen? All right, we've got some carnage going on in the early stages. Not one of them,
yeah.
though, being number 3 Cincinnati.
Lame.
They have a 7-0 lead over UCF. Desmond Ridder already moving this team along down the field, and they're driving once again, trying to make it a 2-score game. Michigan State, the number 10 team in the country, on top of Indiana, 7-3 at the moment. Number 25, Texas, the 7-3 lead over number 12, Oklahoma State. Then we've got on the road, Auburn, unranked, with a 7-3 lead and the ball over number 17, Arkansas. Florida, the 6-0 lead over LSU on the road in that
one. Blocked extra point there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on this morning. And then Texas A&M, a 2-touchdown advantage over Missouri on the road.
Thank you, Tyler. Tyler Aki with the top 25 scoreboard in college football every 30 minutes here on Chicago's College Tailgate with Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. So we talked about Kentucky and Georgia. Let's talk about Purdue and Iowa. Iowa is now the number 2 team in the country. Purdue is on the road to Iowa City today, 2:30 on ABC. You know, the comeback win from last week was fantastic for Iowa. There was a conversation midweek, so Penn State is off today, and James Franklin held a press conference where he rattled off for 5-6 minutes about accusations that The Hawkeyes are claiming that Penn State players towards the end of the game last Saturday were taking a dive, that players weren't actually injured, and that they were trying to stall. And the funniest thing of this whole controversy that James Franklin had to address midweek was the idea that, like, Iowa's a plotting team offensively.
Yeah. So, like, they take forever.
And what James Franklin kept pointing out was that they huddle. So what is going to make a big deal if you are having players fake injuries, in air quotes, when the team's huddling and taking their time to move the ball down the field? It doesn't make any sense. So James Franklin's right, although it's a bit ridiculous. It's also something you do when you have a bye week.
Yeah, I mean, yes, it is, and also interview at USC.
Not yet.
The idea that they were faking injuries. Now, listen, you talk to former players, talk to Yurko. He says every once in a while your team needs a break. Someone tells you to stay down for a little bit. You stay down for a little bit.
Stay there. We need
a break on defense. Stay down for a little bit and, you know, just kind of milk it a little bit. You're not actually hurt. And so maybe there was some, you know, some stuff going on there. But, again, I was a team that bleeds the clock.
Yeah.
I was a team that huddles. They run the ball. They take a lot of time off the clock. So to say that a team is faking injury, you can hear it in the stands. Like, there's that clip going around of that older guy like grabbing his shoulder like, oh, and then he's doing like the cry eyes at the team. It's like, what are you doing? Like, first of all, they're kids, right? These are kids playing football. And it's like, okay, so what? Maybe they are. Big deal. It's gamesmanship. What I don't understand, though, you and I rely a lot on SP Plus. It's basically college football DVOA. SP Plus does not like Iowa.
No.
They're ranked 16th overall. They have the 81st offense, 4th best defense, 4th best special teams. It's that offense. They haven't been able to generate the points on offense. They haven't. You know why? Because they're not generating the yards. Because the team gets turnovers. They have a short field. They don't need to go down the entire field. They score. They generate a few points. I mean, look, this game was 23-20. That's not a lot of points for what we call for. Compare the two games. Compare the Red River rivalry where it was like 55-48 and then 23-20. This team just does not generate a lot of offense, and it's something that they can keep doing, right? It's something that they can get through because right now they face Purdue today. Don't trip up. Don't look ahead to Wisconsin because next week, Wisconsin. I know they can't score, but that defense is good.
Who's this season? Who's looking forward to Wisconsin?
I'm just saying, Iowa. Don't keep your eyes on Wisconsin.
Are the Badgers going to punt them to death?
They might.
What are you worried about Wisconsin for?
I know that I've got Iowa fans decked out in black and orange, a mere 5 feet away from me. It's 5 to 10 feet away from
They're
me.
They're
going
to rip your face
right?
off.
But if you're all careful, and they know better than anybody that Iowa. There's always one game a year where Iowa might trip up. And yeah. I don't know if it's against Purdue this week, but I'm looking at that Wisconsin game next week. On the road in Wisconsin, and then after that at Northwestern, tall grass late in the year, tall grass at a Northwestern late in the year, and then Minnesota, Illinois, and Nebraska. They should go through the rest of the season undefeated. Like, your toughest game was Purdue. And then go to the Big Ten championship game, win the Big Ten, and represent the Big Ten in the college football playoff.
Well, look at it this way for Iowa, right? 3 or 4 years, they've lost to Purdue. So you're probably looking at this matchup. You know that the ranking is next to your name, but you haven't had success against this team as of late. Purdue's passing game is the second best passing game in the Big Ten, but they don't score a lot of points. And in the last 3 weeks, they've scored 39 points. That's not a lot.
No.
So they can throw the football, but they're not getting into the end zone. And then also, Purdue, do they know who's starting at quarterback, right? Because they have a quarterback situation with Jack Plummer and Aiden O'Connell. Both have played. Both have been pretty decent. But that doesn't play into the hands of a team that leads the country in interceptions and takeaways in the Iowa Hawkeyes. I would assume that Iowa wins today. But you're right. Don't trip up because – if you are that good of a team, you should take care of business at home against Purdue, a team that's kind of been up and down at times.
But very strong on defense, only allowing 15 points a game.
I would also throw this out there with the Iowa conversation. You mentioned S&P Plus and how they have them ranked 16th.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that has to do with the fact that Iowa doesn't give you explosive plays on offense.
True, yeah.
And so, like, S&P Plus is kind of taking the explosive nature of teams in today's current college football landscape, and that's where something like that hurts Iowa because going back to the James Franklin conversation with this team, it's not like they just, boom, two passes, touchdown. another, you know, they get 80 yards on this play. They do that. This isn't Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. This team, it takes time to move down the field and to score points. And I think that's where you can see some of the advanced analytics say easy. Because if Iowa gets in a game with a team with a starting quarterback who plays the full game, like, chances are Penn State walks out of that game last week with a victory if Sean Clifford plays the entire game.
Well, also, I mean, we mentioned Oklahoma State as Big 12 Iowa. Look at them. SP Plus has them down at 33rd. So you're right. Taking away those explosive plays does do a lot for the advanced analytics. But eventually, Iowa's going to have to put together a drive. They're going to have to score. They're going to get into a shootout with a team, whether it's now, whether it's with in the Big Ten championship game, whether it's in the college football playoff. They're going to need to score points, and you wonder if they're a team built to just rely on takeaways and defense, or can they put an offensive game plan together to put up a 40-point game if they need to put up a 50-point game if they need to.
Iowa's 12-game win streak is the longest since it won 13 in a row from 2008 to 2009. So Iowa is hot. To the number two team in the country, and they play Purdue today, 2:30 on ABC. We have the playoff predictor coming up next. It's Black and Abdallah live from Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle. It's Chicago's College Tailgate.
This is Chicago's College Tailgate, live from Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Presented by Nissan and brought to you by Coors Light and Sports Game Consultants. Chicago's College Tailgate.
The playoff predictor. Sure, it's a guess, but it's as educated of a guess as there can be.
Because when it comes to deciding the four teams in the playoff, everything matters.
In a game of hypotheticals.
Who's in?
Week here on Chicago's College Tailgate, we take a look into the playoff predictor, trying to figure out what is going to shape up for the college football playoff. We're at week 7 already in college football, Dala. And,
sad,
and
really.
You know, we're at the halfway mark. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where things really start to take shape as we kind of focus in. We are live today from Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle. We'll be here till 1 o'clock. Come hang out. This show is presented by Nissan, also brought to you by SGCSportsInfo.com, and we are drinking Coors Light. We're having a great time. Let's take a look at the playoff predictor. So this week in the playoff predictor, number one, obviously the best team in the country. It's Georgia at 6-0, a 91% chance to make the playoff, which tells me that even if they lose in the SEC championship game,
they're in.
They are likely to make the college football playoff. Number two, Oklahoma at 6-0 at a 59% chance. Number three, Alabama at 5-1 is the number three ranked team in the playoff predictor. Number four, how about this? Cincinnati is ranked number four in the playoff predictor. 5-0, 45% chance to make the college football playoff. And now we get to 5, 6, and 7, and that's where we get three. Actually, all the way to 8, we get 4 Big Ten teams. We have Michigan at 5. We have Ohio State at 6. Iowa at 7. Michigan State at 8. So Michigan is the best team on the outside looking in, according to the playoff predictor, to get into the college football playoff, a 40% chance just behind Cincinnati, and then Ohio State's right behind Michigan. That would tell me that the playoff predictor is suggesting the winner of Michigan-Ohio State would likely win the Big Ten, and then that team would likely be the team that would get into the college football playoff if Cincinnati or Oklahoma were to trip up.
Yeah, I mean, because if you look at this, you know, the way the schedule plays out, Michigan being undefeated right now, they win the rest of their games, they beat Ohio State at the end of the season, they win the Big Ten, they go to the Big Ten championship game and win. We spent a lot of time talking about Iowa, but you still have undefeated Michigan. You still have undefeated Michigan State, and you still have 5-1 Ohio State. And don't tell me, look, if Ohio State wins the rest of their games and finds a way into the Big Ten championship game and wins the Big Ten, you can't tell me that they're not going to be in it as well.
Yeah.
Because a one-loss Ohio State team, if they start, because as of right now, they're going for style points. They're beating the hell out of teams, and they're going to keep doing that to say, hey, yeah, we tripped up, but look at the way we've been beating other teams. We've won the Big Ten. We deserve to be in the college football playoff over, let's say you have a one-loss Oklahoma team, a one-loss Alabama team, maybe even an undefeated Cincinnati team. If you have a bunch of one-loss teams and then Cincinnati, that's a real conversation you're going to have, because is a one-loss Alabama team better than an undefeated Cincinnati team? Is a one-loss Alabama team or a Michigan team or Ohio State team or Iowa team, all these, Oklahoma, are they better than Cincinnati? Because you just looked at the resume. Ohio State beats Michigan. That's a team that's ranked. Yeah. Ohio State wins the Big Ten. They have a championship game. You know, Oklahoma runs the table. So they're going to have a lot of conversations for the college football committee, depending on how this shakes out. And, you know, college football finds a way. These teams are all going to play each other. You know, Michigan, Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, like, they're all going to play each other. They'll figure each other out. So as of right now, you look at teams on the outside looking in, Oregon, the Pac-12's done. Notre Dame's most likely done because Cincinnati beat them. Georgia's probably the only 100% lock right now. I know it says 91%, but you can lock them in there at 100% unless they – I mean, what? They're going
to
lose?
For Georgia to miss out, they would have to lose soon.
Mm-hmm.
Then they would have to not either make the SEC championship game or lose the SEC championship game, so they're a two-loss team.
Yeah.
If they're a two-loss team, I could see them not making it. But you're right. At this point, it seems like Georgia, the way that they're playing – they're basically a lock to get in. And, you know, like, what's crazy about the playoff predictor is, like, listen, last night, watching college football, Clemson and Syracuse played. Clemson wins 17-14. Can the Tigers even score 20 points? And they're 4-2 now. Clemson's 4-2. Heading into this week, they were the 12th-ranked team on the playoff predictor with a shot to still get in.
Yeah.
Now, they're behind Pitt, who's in their same conference, right? And Pitt's just behind Michigan State. And Pitt's at 4-1. Pitt and Clemson, you're not getting into the college football playoff. No matter how much people care about the ACC, you're not getting into the college football playoff this year.
It's been nice for the Pac-12. It's been nice for the ACC. We'll see you next year. Like, you just can't. You can't put either of those conferences in, and that's why these conferences and these schools want a 12-team playoff, because they want a representative from each conference, if not two representatives from each conference, guaranteed a spot in the college football playoff. So they're represented in some way, because then you're like, hey, even if you have two losses, like if Clemson ends up winning the ACC and they have two losses, they'll be guaranteed a spot, because every conference champion would be guaranteed a spot in the college football playoff if you move to 12 teams. Same with the Pac-12. Oregon wins the Pac-12. UCLA wins the Pac-12. USC eventually, you know, gets some talent and a new coach. They win the Pac-12 with one or two losses. You want a representative in that, and that's why so many people want this to go to 12 teams, which I'm in favor of this year. I think this year, just experiment. Just try it out. See how it goes. Maybe not to 12. Maybe to 6. How about 6?
But if we played it out, 12 teams right now.
How about 6?
Clemson would be that 12th team.
Okay. How about 8 teams?
But why? Like, Clemson's not a team that should get a chance at a college football championship.
No,
like,
you shouldn't have two lost. You shouldn't have two lost teams in there. You shouldn't have two lost teams.
Well, but that's the conversation we're going to get to if we expand a college football playoff to 12 teams, is that you now have to include those who are two lost teams who came into the season highly ranked. That's something that people are going to have to look at.
What about that little fighting bird at 6-0 down there?
The Chanticleers from Coastal Carolina?
Why not? They're undefeated. Put them in.
Okay.
Put them in.
What do you mean, put them in?
Put them in. Put them in. 12 teams. Put them in.
You know, once again, it's something to kind of acknowledge for the Big Ten. You know, we're doing this show here in Chicago. Today we're in Roselle. But, like, the Big Ten clearly is the power of college football this season. Like everyone,
they're the deepest conference this season, for sure.
People want to talk about the SEC, but when you have Michigan, Ohio State, Iowa, and Michigan State all in the conversation, Penn State lurking, there are good teams in the Big Ten that are really showing up and showing out this year.
Well, I think you can say the same thing. You're right, but I still think you can say the same thing for the SEC. I think the SEC is still a deep conference. They're not as deep as the Big 12 or the Big Ten, but I think that they are still a deep team, because if you look at Georgia, Kentucky, Florida, you've got Alabama, obviously. You've got, I know Texas A&M has two losses, but the way they've been playing, and they haven't stopped. They're up 14-0 or 21-0 right now. So it's still a deep conference. The problem is you've got down years for a couple of these powerhouses that are normally up there. LSU is having a down year. Texas A&M with their two losses early. You know, Auburn having a down year. All these teams are still make for a deep conference when they're not having down years. The Big Ten just have so many teams right now that aren't having a down year so far.
It's Black and Abdallah. We are live from Pop's Pizza and Sports Bar in Roselle. And Abdallah, next week they have an Oktoberfest, Toast to the Tent event, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Right.
Next week they have German food. They have German beers. Oof. They have a whole setup for Oktoberfest next weekend. You got to get out here.
I love Oktoberfest. Give me a big beer and a boot.
Yeah, the Stein.
The big one. Yeah, give me a big beer. One. I want a big beer.
How many of those? How many boots can you drink?
How many boots can I drink?
Yeah.
Two, one for each foot.
How many boots will you lick if I give you enough money?
None.
No boot licking?
Not boot licker.
It's Black and Abdallah. We're drinking Coors Light. It's Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We get a scoreboard update, and we talk about the top games of the week coming up next here on Chicago's College Tailgate.